probably start there. Again, maybe not. Hi, Paul.
Oh, I gotta put on a microphone. You didn't hear that.
I saw you.
Hold this up. Now we'll go over and look at it, make sure it's working. Save Paul some more, anyway. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 65. Hopefully, a very familiar passage of Scripture. For you guys, anyway. Other people, not so much. Psalm 65, and I'm going to read like the first 8 verses. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Sion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. And I'm just going to stop right there. Because David goes on and talks about God is powerful, God is good. And guess what? He is powerful and good and righteous and holy and love. But I was going to talk about the first. Well, basically trying to get to the fourth verse, as if y'all couldn't have guessed that. It's amazing where you'll find election in the Bible. It's everywhere. But this is a psalm of David, and it is a psalm, at least the first part of it here, it is about the work of the Lord for his people, and about the work of the Lord in his people. What I want to talk about here, basically, I've come up with a title for Paul, Cause and Effect. We talk about this, cause and effect. Because, and we say, rightly so, Walter said it, Earl said it, I'll say it, other people have said it. God is the first cause of everything. But implicit in that logic, if there's a cause, it has to have an effect. Otherwise, it's not a cause. It didn't cause anything. But I wanted to do both. That's what we're here, because we find both in this scripture. Because we have both what God has done for us and what God has done to us in this psalm. We have them both. But he starts off in verse 1, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. God is always to be praised. And it's always a good thing to start there, praising God. Most of the time, most of the world starts with, what's in it for me? No. He is the first cause of all things. From him all blessings do flow. From him all life does come. He is worthy to be praised. So we should praise him. And that's the way David starts off this psalm. Then in verse 2 he says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now, I have been using that program online as a website. It's called studylight.org. It's pretty good. It is actually a website. And if you can figure out how to get to it, because it ain't the best laid out website in the world, okay? But there's a little bar that runs across near the top, and you can click on it, and it has interlinear tools. And you click on that, and it'll come up, and you can plug in a verse, PSA, Psalm 65, verse 4, 65, verse 2, whatever. You know, and I put a colon in there now, because that's the way I've always written them, and it takes it. And then you can push New English Translation or King James, and it will come up with the verse and the Hebrew underneath it in this case, or the Greek if it's a New Testament verse. And on the Greek, it actually gives you the Strong's numbers. And you can go through the verse where it's showing it written out in the Greek or the Hebrew, and you can roll your cursor over it. And you roll your cursor over the English part, and it highlights the Hebrew word. And you will see from this that their grammar is different than ours. Hebrew is in Greek. Because the first word here may be the third word here. And I forgot, because I don't normally look at it, the Hebrew, I forgot Hebrew reads right to left. So I went to the first word to come to the last word. I said, wait a minute, they're usually not that far off. Oh yeah, it goes this way. But anyhow, then you can go from there. There's a little thing called study tools, and a whole little window pop up at the bottom with a bunch of commentaries. I mean, Adam Clark, Gill, Matthew Henry, people I've never heard of. I mean, there's like about 20 of them. There's a lot of people that make a lot out of this verse, verse 2, that, O thou that hearest prayer, they're not really so concerned about that because everybody knows God hears prayer. But unto thee shall all flesh come. And there's all kind of discussion about what that actually means. Because there are some, you might call them Arminian by persuasion or free will people. See, he wants all flesh to come to him. That's his purpose. No, it's not his purpose. But David said it, all flesh shall come. Now there's three different explanations I saw. I kind of got tired of looking after a while. The first explanation is that all types of people come. That's what, you know, David is meaning. The second explanation, this is kind of the one I agree with, because David does continue on. He doesn't leave that statement sitting there by itself. It says, all those that pray to him is who he's talking about. If you're going to pray to God, if you truly pray to God, you'll come to him. And guess what? It's who he chooses. The other one, of course, the third one is that, and actually there was a reference here that somebody did say that it could be this. It means, actually it does mean everyone. Because one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory and honor of the Father. And that actually, you know, he didn't say here particularly that it's necessarily going to be a good thing, but he does say all flesh will come. So that's the three different ways they interpret it. I think it's just amazing that he hears our prayers. He doesn't hear everybody's prayers. We know that the Lord heareth not sinners, but he will hear those whom he has chosen, as David goes on to say here. But anyhow, like I said, I get this feeling sometimes that Bible commentators don't get out much. They get wrapped up in their own little world sometimes, and they forget how the real world actually is. Or they never knew. But anyway, the next verse, 65, verse 3, iniquities prevail against me, for as our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. David is talking about us, our. That's one reason why I think that all flesh is coming, is those that thou hast chosen. But David says this, and I looked at it, and one of the translations has this, instead of iniquities prevail against me, the way they wrote it was, iniquities are mightier than I. And that's true. Iniquities prevail against me. Do you realize the might of your own iniquity? If you do, that is a blessing from God. That is grace, because the world does not know the might of the iniquity that is in each and every one of us. Matter of fact, the world doesn't even come close, because this iniquity, believers, those God has chosen, has given life to, those who are regenerated, those who are converted, we know this iniquity is in us. And the realization of that is a gift from God. Because the world can't know. For several years, I didn't know. Now, there were times when I thought, correctly so, that I did bad things. But I was a victim of circumstance. Yeah. That's right. Bugs Bunny was talking about me. I'm just a victim of circumstance. Yeah. I was there, it was there, and in me dwelt no good thing. And that's still true. And my iniquity results in transgressions. My iniquities result in my transgressions. There's a cause and effect for you there. The sin within me came out. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. No, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And at one time, that's all I had in me. My rebelling against God comes from within. It comes from within. The world and the religious and the secular, they're all worried about outside influences. They're worried about television. They're worried about horribly violent video games. Now, you know, I've played horribly violent video games. And yeah, every now and then there's a time when you want to play a first-person shooter and blow things up. But that video game didn't put anything in me that wasn't already there. That's what the world doesn't realize and won't realize. So they're still having a debate, nature versus nurture. Well, the nature's bad and the nurture's bad. I'm sorry. It's a double negative. We need to keep our children away from bad influences. Like Walter talks about little Johnny. Where the lady went to the school and said, I want to make sure little Johnny stays away from the bad influences. And the vice principal looked at her and said, I'm sorry, I have to tell you this, that little Johnny is the bad influence. There's got to be one somewhere. I've got it in me. I've got it in me. And so do you. Y'all don't have to look so happy that I've got it and smile at me. Now, I agree there is some stuff you shouldn't watch on TV. There may be some movies you shouldn't watch. There are beer joints and strip clubs on TV. And in reality. And I wouldn't want my children to be corrupted by these things. But I know children are corrupt already, just like their parents and just like me. And iniquity is mightier than I. This iniquity is inside each and every one of us. There was a reason the writer of Hebrews, who I still think is Paul, he wrote of the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know why? Now he said the sin, not talking about the sins, but the sin, it's in me. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and that results in transgressions. Cause and effect. You know, forget about the kids for a minute. I need to stay away from bad influences. And the proof of my iniquity is in my transgressions. I do sin, I do fail, I fall woefully short. But I have hope in the fact that I know this now, where I didn't know it before. I used to think I was a pretty good guy. Sometimes I find myself still thinking that. But I'm not. But believers know this part. The world doesn't. Because believers have been shown this. The only ones who can know that they used to be dead are the ones that aren't dead anymore. And if you're alive, you may not know everything, but you're going to know something's different than what it was. And that something is you, is me. Life does make a difference. Life does have an effect. But Christ didn't even leave us here. Neither did David. Because the iniquities which are mightier than I lead to transgressions which I commit, thou shalt purge them away. Thou shalt purge them away. And this is in the present tense. Because so are my sins. Even though Christ's blood was shed, the redemption was obtained 2,000 years ago, I still sin today. I still transgress today, but thou still purge my sins away. Do not talk about shedding blood for them, but they are forgiven because he did shed his blood for them. The forgiveness of God is in Jesus Christ, and he forgives us always. Always. Yes, iniquity is mightier than I. And yes, I transgress. But yes, also, they're purged away. That's a blessing. Because I need them purged away. Then we come to Psalm 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Blessed is the man, happy is the man. That's what it is. I love the election of God. Since we're here, we have to talk about election. In a minute, I'll go to Romans 9. No, I don't think so, but I might. You never know. Do you want to know anything about happiness? You want to know what can make a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl happy? David says it here. The choice of God. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. People fuss about it. They say y'all harp too much on it, and maybe we do, but we like it. I love it. People say it's not fair, it's not right, I want an equal chance, I want my choice. Well, keep it up and you'll get your choice. Because without the election of God, I didn't have a chance. And my choice would have been wrong. And I don't want anybody to be fair to me. I just got through reading about and talking about my iniquities. My iniquity and my transgressions. I don't want fair. I want grace. I want mercy. I want love. And that comes from the choice of the Lord. Not from our choice. If it had been up to me, I know enough about me that I don't want anything to be up to me if I can avoid it. And my wife might testify to that if you ask her nicely in the right way. I can procrastinate the dickens out of some stuff. Well, I'm sorry, I can't. She's laughing, it's all right. She knows it and she's still married to me. But in this scripture, where is the choice of man? It's not there. It's not there. We're talking about a cause and effect here. We'll get to the effect here hopefully in a little bit. But what we're talking about here now, this is about God choosing. This is about God choosing. No one else is choosing in this psalm. God is. I don't know. It may just be me, but I'm thinking David might have had a point here. Whose choice matters? You can go to any other church around here and they'll tell you your choice matters. You can look in this book right here, it'll tell you God's choice matters. God's choice. I'm not going to say other things don't matter, but anything that does matter comes from this choice here that God made. Everything else that matters comes from this choice here that the Lord made. John 15 and verse 16, Christ told his disciples, "Ye have not chosen me." That's, you didn't choose me, but I've chosen you. So he started with the negative, went to the positive. Here, all we've got is the positive. God chose. And you know what? Because God chose, that man is blessed. Now, what does it mean if God didn't choose and cause someone? That means you're not blessed. Now, where does your choice fit in that? It doesn't. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. That's what David's saying, and that is the ultimate deep meaning of this passage. That is what he wrote, and that is what it means. The blessed man is the man that God has chosen. If you want to look at when this choice happened, it happened officially. The title is From the Beginning. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. This is where the blessedness of the man starts. It started from the beginning when God made his choice. We weren't even there to have a voice in it. And now that we're here, we still don't have a voice in it. And I can tell you this, there is no blessedness outside of God's choosing. That's what the scriptures state. Paul told us there that the choice of the Father was made in the beginning, from the beginning. And one of these days, I'm going to put a bunch of those together because there's a bunch of things in the scripture that says that happened from the beginning. You know, the beginning was a very busy time. Because there's a bunch of stuff. In the beginning, God chosen you from the beginning. I'm not going to go into that. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That's 1 Peter 1 and 2. Elect, chosen, according to the foreknowledge of the Father. His foreknowing, I'm not going to, not his foreseeing, okay? His foreseeing what people would do, and thereby he made his choice, that though that's not foreknowledge. There's another one of these. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. Another one of them from the beginning things. From the beginning of the world, it says. That's foreknowledge. He knew us. He knew his people beforehand. It's not that he saw his people beforehand. Like I said, I went into that one time. There's a different Greek word for foreseeing. So they had it. And generally, I believe the Apostle Paul is smart enough to use the word he meant. And the Apostle Peter also. And the Apostle John. Because they were all led by the Holy Spirit to write this stuff down. And from the beginning, God made a choice. And because of that choice, we are blessed. Because it's not what God chose, it's who God chose. Walter said it some months ago about Jesus Christ is election's grand original. The Father chose the Son. And the Father chose us in the Son. That's where our blessedness is. Every single bit of it is in Christ. Everything we have is in Christ that's of any value. My flesh is my own. He chose his family in Christ. The Father did. And for what purpose did he choose these people? For his glory. And what was the result of God's choosing? Blessed men and women. And if you say, I act like God's choice is all that matters, well, yeah. You know, you're getting the point. I said, this is where I actually have it written down. I was going to say that God's choice is not all that matters, but everything else that does matter from our perspective as a human being. From our perspective, everything that matters comes from God's choice. And this is where blessedness starts. This is where blessedness has always started. This is where happiness starts. This is where love starts, peace, joy. It starts with God's choice from the beginning. Now, it's a good thing Walter ain't here. I got five things. Because I said cause and effect. God's choice always results in actions. What? No, we're pausing for effect. And I had a need to drink. Y'all believe in actions? Y'all believe in works? Sure. I believe God has purpose to do things in time. And everything, everyone whom God has chosen from the beginning, he's going to cause to approach unto himself. And you know why I believe that? Because that's what David just wrote. That's what he said. And that's what it says all throughout this book. God does make the choice, but that choice does actually result in actions. Now, first and foremost, it actually results in God's actions. And I wrote five things down that God's choice causes. First thing it causes for a man is life. Man is dead in trespasses and sins. Man is without strength. Not even a little bit of strength. And surely not even a little bit of knowledge. Man is without God, without hope, and in the world. Man loves darkness and hates the light. Hates the light. But blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. The first thing, now this is from our perspective, from the human perspective, from my own personal perspective, the first thing God does because of his choice to a person whom he has chosen is he gives them life. Why? Because until then, they were dead in trespasses and sins. When I came upon you, polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, live. Now, if he had come on to us, polluted in our own blood, and he said, believe, would that have helped? No. No. If he'd have come down and said, "What? Ooh, Mephibosheth, you can eat at the king's table as long as you can take the first step." Wasn't that the guy that was lame on both feet? Life comes first. And life comes because of God's choosing. From our perspective. The next thing I wrote down, faith comes. Faith is the gift of God by grace. And you see, man loves darkness and hates the light. What that means is man hates God by nature. By nature. And Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's ours. It's his. He made it. He gave it. But that comes because of God's choice from the beginning. The next thing I wrote down, number three, is understanding. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. That's a fact. You can talk to them and find out if you want to. But normally all you have to do, if you really want to, all you have to do is turn on the television. The natural man cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Then open he their understanding. Why? Because it wasn't open before. It has to be opened by him, by the Spirit of God, who's going to take the things of his and show them to you. That, by definition, is unnatural. Because the natural man can't do it. He doesn't want to anyway, but it says that he can't. The fourth thing I wrote down is believing. Because of the faith given, because of the understanding being opened, you will believe if God has chosen you. And the last thing I wrote down is hope. Because of God's choice, we have hope. Jesus Christ is my hope, my only hope. And my hope is in him, his life, his work, his sacrifice, his substitution, his redemption, and his salvation. Because it's all his. And it's all in him. He is our hope. And he gives me hope. Now that's only part of the stuff. That's just what I had written down. As the effect. From this cause. Of God choosing. There are many more things. But I can tell you this. None of the blessings. None of the good stuff comes from me or from you. It all comes from him. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Now, in order to dwell somewhere, to abide somewhere, now this may sound kind of simple, you got to be alive. Because if you're not alive, you're not going to be dwelling somewhere. You're just going to be laying around. That's all you're going to be doing. So that's one reason why I said life is the first thing that happens. But the other thing I wanted to just mention here, and I'm going to quit, is because it goes from here, blessed is the man, that he may dwell in thy courts, that God chooses and causes to approach. He, singular. All of this stuff happens to the individual. It happens individually. There is no group salvation from our perspective. God chose us individually, but he chose us all in Christ from the beginning, individually. But the next part of that verse, it says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. After God has done something for you, you are no longer alone. He has a people. He has his family, and he has brought you in. I was been listening to Walter's sermons on adoption, the adoption of children, and then to the adoption of sons. When he chose us, we're children. When he brings us in, he makes us sons and daughters of God. He makes us adult children, not just babes, not just little ones. And we are we. And us and them are somebody else. We're us, and they're them. That's the way it is. But he has brought us into the family, and we are not alone. And guess, we are satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Where did the prodigal go when he came to himself? He went home. And there was a brother already there. Now, maybe the brother was a little behind, whatever. But still, there's family there. And we shall be satisfied even of thy holy temple. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Or don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Gather together as an assembly, as the family of God. That's part of the blessedness that starts with God choosing from the beginning. You go from I to us. From me to we. You join that group of all that believeth him. And that's a good place to be. That's the best place to be on this earth. It may not feel like it sometimes, but that's just you. Sorry, or it's me. There are times I was nervous about coming here and doing this because, see, Walter ain't here. And see, I always use him as a fallback position. It always makes me nervous when I'm here by myself. But I'm not by myself. Where two or three are gathered together, in his name, there I am in the midst of you. And I thank God for that. And guess what? That comes, as far as we're concerned, that comes from that choosing from the beginning. And that cause has many, many effects. And the main effect that we have is blessed. We are blessed in him. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. And Lord, I hope this has been what you wanted said. Thank you for all that you are doing for us and doing to us and doing in us and what you shall do for us in the future. Thank you. In the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.